Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On OK Go. Tim Nordwin comes by and talks about his band and how the internet changed their lives. For more information and news we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Here we geek, here we geek again. Here we geek, here we geek, here we geek again. Hello, my geeklings.
Get out.
Ow!
That's the first time I've ever heard you be rhythmic, Peter.
And he wasn't on.
And don't count on it happening anytime soon.
Welcome, everybody, to a long-awaited
Geeks On.
Long overdue Geeks On.
Absolutely.
We are really busy right now.
Aaron's house caught on fire.
No.
You know,
no. His house did not catch on fire, but it was not far away. Was it?
All
not.
Of us were pretty well smoked, though.
Right. Yes, pretty much looked out your back window and you could see the flames.
If anybody could.
I have never seen an entire mountain range on fire before.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
It was crazy. There was a mountain on fire near my house.
Don,
those of you who have heard of it, it's the Griffith Park fire here in Los Angeles. Mm. Pretty much wrapped all the way around our houses.
It burned. Don was smoked. I suddenly started looking at him hungrily.
It's true.
Wanted a little poi.
Gnawing on my leg. It was just wrong.
It was tasty.
Yeah, it was crazy. It looked like a volcano in our backyard.
I came out of the grocery store and I'm looking up and there's Griffith Park Observatory like wreathed in flames, and then these four helicopters come over and like dive bomb it. I was like, whoa!
The best part, a little tiny moment I don't think I told any of you about. I'm sitting there in the kitchen getting a glass of water. It's dark at this point. I'm looking out my kitchen window at the hills on fire, right? I see the Hollywood sign lit up at night with this unholy red light. Mm-hmm. You know, the Griffith Observatory is over there just wreathed in flame. And my roommate in the other room is flicking through the channels, and apparently The Omen has finally reached HBO, because suddenly I heard the theme song from The Omen. And I'm just like, whoa.
Well, I mean, it is. Minnesota's on fire. California's on fire. I mean, the island, Catalina's on fire. Florida's on fire. I mean, hello?
There's something wrong.
The earth is literally like, get off. Get off. Off me. Leave me alone. I mean, can we catch on?
Mother
I thought everyone was supposed to drop dead in like 2050. Like, are we moving up the timetable here?
I guess
here?
We're, you know, accelerating it.
How was everybody's geek week? Anybody have anything interesting happen?
Well, I've been working.
I've
been working a lot, but I did download Catan, the Xbox 360
version. I have been
version.
Playing it religiously.
Me too, on Don's off days.
I've played it three times.
How is it?
I think it's done pretty well.
It's done really well.
Yeah.
There is a trading screen that... If anybody's played the board game, it's a lot of trading going on. So there is a trading screen that took me just a little bit to figure out. Like,
What do you mean with the question mark card?
Just everything. Like, there was little arrows going on.
There's a certain rhythm to it. You know, if you don't know the rhythm, it can be a little slow.
Right. And so after figuring that out, the game was
play on
perfect.
Expert. Nobody trades with you. Just, you know, you don't have to worry.
Well, I've been
it.
Trying to play with people. I've only played the tutorial alone, so I've only played with people. So.
Yeah, and I actually owe Peter $12.50 because I
noticed.
Good.
Oh, you bought.
I get emails.
Okay.
I keep track. He bought a couple things. He's using my Xbox, so whenever there's purchases,
I'm keeping track.
I get a little
too.
Email.
It's like your credit card's being spent.
Yeah.
Don is now Peter's trust fund baby.
So
thank you, Daddy.
For my anniversary,
scary.
My wife got me a Wii.
Ah.
And so just the other day, we were babysitting a couple of friends' kids. Mm-hmm. And we brought them by the house on the way, you know, taking them home. And they decided to play a little Wii game.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our first Wii injury.
Was it a Wii injury?
It was a Wii injury, yeah. Poor Evan and poor Olivia. As Evan was playing tennis, went around and hit her so hard she was black and blue on her forehead.
Oh! And the little Nintendo logo.
She's 4 years. She's 4 years younger than him, so she's just the right height to get whacked. You know.
What is with you and Ed's kids, man? You know, you're bringing my dog over, and my dog's trying to eat Ed's kids. It's like not right.
Now, also for me, You know, I managed to lose a tooth. One of my front two teeth, so I look a little bit like a hillbilly right now.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
just insulted so. A member of our listening audience who has chewed us out in the past for using the word hillbilly.
Hillbilly?
Oh, sorry, redneck.
No. We used hillbilly. No, we can use the term hillbilly. We just can't.
Sorry. Genetically impaired.
See, that's what we're not supposed to do.
Right.
You use the term, you're just not supposed to be making fun of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other geeky things?
I think since the last time we recorded, I released my latest video game.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I think I'm allowed to say, it is The Apprentice Los Angeles, a casual downloadable game. And
you hinted at it last time.
Even though, well, you know, pretty much my boss is like, oh, you want to go do a podcast about it? Go! Go, whatever.
Great. More people going to play our game? Sure.
Yeah. So we finally got the reviews back, and even though the one actual review website that does reviews for casual games gave us a 3.5 out of 5, all the user reviews on all the major websites that allow users to put in their own reviews, mm-hmm. we're averaging 5 out of 5.
Great.
Oh. Yay. Excellent.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Great. So Peter's mentor, Ed, great writer, mm-hmm. He comes in, because Peter and I are writing with him, and he comes into this restaurant we're meeting him at, and he goes, here, this is for helping me. And I'm like, what? You know, because every now and again he'll ask me about some martial arts stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. He hands me this bag. He gave me a Wii, like,
nice.
Two controllers, two video games.
Oh, my God.
Like, the setup for the Wii, everything.
Wow.
I mean, he hooked me up.
And I was like, mine, too.
I mean, yeah. And I was like, how did you? It was the most incredible, and it was right before my birthday, so crazy.
Nice.
Craziness.
Excellent.
We have had a couple birthdays since the last time we recorded.
Matt and Don.
Yeah. Matt is now a year older than me.
Right. Yeah, I am now aging forward and Don is aging backwards.
Your present is in the back of my car.
You said that last time. I don't believe
you
anymore.
You have to get it. You have to remember to take it out.
Ew, creepy. Yeah. Actually,
I'm not comfortable anymore.
There's this weird pillow. It's this new...
You're not going to describe it the way I think
I am going to describe it the way you think I'm going to describe it. It's this really, really strange pillow that's an ergonomic pillow. Is designed like if you can imagine two metal bars next to each other and a ball resting on the two metal bars, right?
Okay.
As you widen the ends of the metal bars that are towards you, the ball will start sliding towards you, right?
Right.
Now, this is supposed to take... This works on your neck, so it basically shifts and extends the occipital bones of your neck and extends you backwards. Now, the thing about this pillow, which has got a whole bunch of science behind it, mm-hmm. it looks like a gigantic vagina. Okay. And Kat got it for me for my birthday. And it was like, honey, here's a gigantic vagina.
Yeah.
It was like, what are you saying?
Matt was telling me that he does not sleep well at all normally. Yeah. He wakes up with his fists in his neck hitting these certain spots.
Holding my neck up. And this was the first time in 15 years, because ever since I got whiplash when I was 15, mm-hmm. you know.
For those of you who don't know, Matt's famous for since that whiplash, having neck injuries. He re-injured his neck towel drying his hair.
It was sad. Anyway, but this was the first time in 15 years where I've woken up completely no pain, no shit.
With a vagina wrapped around your neck.
With a vagina wrapped around my head.
I got it.
All right. Which
how usually... could you not sleep well?
Wow.
Went right to sleep.
Only you can help me sleep so well.
Geek news?
Geek news! Aaron shifting the subject.
I'm still picturing Matt with a vagina wrapped around his head.
Let's hit cue the music. And
can we say vagina on a podcast?
I think we can.
Okay.
Who's going to go first?
I think you should.
I think it's okay to say vagina as long as you don't say fuck or shit or...
See, now we have to put the explicit tag on the damn show.
Thank you, Peter.
We did several podcasts without the explicit tag in a row, and now I have to put the damn thing back.
And my mom's actually starting to listen to the podcast, too, so it's bad timing.
Sorry!
Really? I've been trying to get my father to listen to this thing for 2 years.
Yeah,
I have to like send him emails with links to the website every time I bring it up.
My mom listened to it and went, "You guys are great. I don't know what you're saying, but it's great."
Thanks, Mom.
All right. Well, this is not news, but today was the first day of upfronts in the Hollywood industry. They call them upfronts.
Okay.
And NBC aired their lineup.
Why don't you explain what they are?
Okay. Upfronts is the time period in which all the networks present their upcoming fall lineup to essentially Madison Avenue.
The advertisers.
They put on a show, and they present the advertisers with what the schedule is going to be and the weekly lineup. And then they allow the advertisers to buy upfront ad sales before the actual show airs.
Right.
They even give them like a, you know, if you buy now, you get a cheaper discount. Because if you buy in the fall, it's going to be really expensive.
Right.
And if this show is a hit, then it's going to be even more expensive. So buy now. So it pretty much predicts how their year is going to be. This is very important for every network. They need to sell these ads. So they present this great big, you know, fall lineup. And NBC's was today.
Okay. What do we got?
So the only ones I'm going to bring up are the ones that are kind of geeky.
Okay. I know one that's geeky that got moved on. But I don't know which network.
Well,
on meaning taken or passed?
I don't speak the English language well, Don. It's taken. It will be going. It will be proceeding. It will be
proceeding
on the air.
Excellent. Okay.
Thank you. English hard.
The other network, which I'm doing some work for right now, I can't mention because I'll get people in trouble. So next podcast, I'll mention their lineup. But NBC, the three ones that I saw on the upfronts that looked geeky and good was one called Journeyman. It's the guy from...
I think Journeyman is fine.
Journeyman. Journeyman. He's the guy, the lead guy from Rome.
Okay. Mr. Spock?
Huh?
Mr. Titus Spock. Pullo.
Titus Pullo. He plays a time traveler, and he's shifting through time, and he's not fully in control.
What's with all the time travel
Don't know, but this actually looked pretty interesting.
Next, and, you know...
This looked pretty interesting. I didn't see the pilot, but I did see the pitch video that was like 3 or 4 minutes, and it did look interesting.
What's his name? Is it Ray Stevenson?
I don't know, but he's a great actor, and
the big guy,
actually,
right?
No.
Oh, you're talking about
that guy.
Oh, the blonde guy.
The blonde guy.
Oh, okay. Varanus.
Yeah. Varanus, right.
Yeah, because
he's the other guy in the zombie television show.
Got it.
This one we're talking about is Journeyman.
Journeyman, yes. So that was interesting. Then I also saw The Bionic Woman.
Yeah, that's what the one I knew was going to go.
Who's in that?
I can't remember the woman's name, but guess Starbuck is in it, at least the pilot. I'm not sure if she's a continuing character, but she plays the first Bionic Woman. There's like, you know, our hero, and then she kind of meets this other girl who's
the prototype.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know why they did that, right?
To get all the Battlestar fans?
Yeah, to completely get all the Battlestar fans.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Obviously.
That was the only reason.
Well, I mean, she looks like
she's a solid little actress, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was obvious. You know? Yeah, they wanted to get the sci-fi fans.
I went on four damn auditions for that stupid pilot for there's a Japanese guy. And then they literally called up my agents and went, no, what we really wanted was the guy from Elektra. There's this Chinese dude in Elektra who's... cool and whatever, and they were like, "No, we just wanted him
to get
to get the part originally."
That's how why all stars get jobs.
It was just
obnoxious.
Yeah, but they
make me go out to three auditions?
Jessica Alba is not working because she's a great actress. She's working because she did a previous movie that made money.
I
know.
Okay, so
anyway,
it does look like a reimagining. They're pulling a page from Battlestar. It looks like they took the general concept of the Bionic Woman, and then that is it.
Yeah.
Because this is way...
So it's like dark and edgy.
No tracksuit. Yeah. No tracksuit in this one.
She's, well, there's a line that one of the guys says in it, which is that you're a weapon. And she's kind of going, you know, why are they doing this to me? Why do they want to build me up as this thing? He's going... You were built up by the federal government. You think they're not going to use you?
Yeah, that was kind of the great thing about the original one, but they just kind of glossed over. The original one, they said, you know, you owe us.
Right.
Yeah. We spent some money on you, and you got to go and do this thing.
$6 million.
She pretty much said, no, I'm going to go teach, and then she would join every week anyway. This one seems a lot more dark and hardcore and harsh. Then the other one was called Chuck. This is a comedy about, and I couldn't get all the specifics based off of this 4-minute video, but it's a guy who works at like Nerd Herd is what they call it. It's essentially Geek Squad. He's a Geek Squad guy. They call it Nerd Herd. And somehow he's had all of the U.S. secrets
downloaded
into his head, but he doesn't know it. He's forgotten. So he's working at like Best Buy as a nerd herd, and he's got his geeky friends, and every secret agent in the entire world, enemy and United States, is trying to get this guy.
Yeah, I've read
this. Okay, that sounds like fun.
I've read the script for the pilot. It is incredibly good.
It looks funny as hell.
That sounds like a great idea.
It is incredibly hard. They're big nerds. The nerd humor is actually incredibly funny.
And the real real nerd humor. Like he's rapping to like Vicky Vale, Vicky Vale, and he's doing all this crazy stuff. It looked pretty funny.
Yeah, I did that. I was doing that scene with Kat in the living room, and I did the Vicky Vale thing for her, and I was laughing, and she like looking at me like, I don't
what is that?
Get it. It was very sad.
I laughed at work, and everyone else was like, don't get that either. Hopefully that one will
last.
Is
that a bad thing?
You know? Yeah. Hopefully it will last because it may be too specific, but it was pretty funny. There is a hot woman in there, so who knows, it might last.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll bring up some of the other ones as as people find out about them, maybe later on in the next episode.
So all those are ones that are being picked up?
Those are the three that they announced for NBC.
Beautiful.
So this is a really cool story. There's going to be a link to the story as well as a link to a video that shows what we're talking about here. But basically, there is a church called the Rosslyn Chapel that was built in the 15th century about 7 miles south of the Scottish capital at Edinburgh. And inside it...
This is the Rosslyn Chapel from the Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And inside it, there's these 13 angel musicians on arches of the chapel. And there are 213 carved cubes with these strange geometric type patterns in them.
Right.
And so there's this guy named Thomas Mitchell, a 75-year-old musician and ex-Royal Air Force codebreaker, and his composer and pianist, Son Stewart, who looked at this and were thinking, this has got to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
So they spend years trying to decode it. And what they gradually begin to realize is that these images are designed to tell the what frequency to do notes at for a song that's carved into the chapel. There's a thing called an ancient musical system called cymatics or cladney patterns, mm-hmm. which are formed by sound waves at specific pitches. And basically,
You put sand over a drum.
You put sand over a drum, and you sing at a certain pitch, and they will create these bizarre patterns on it, and literally you'll change the pitch and suddenly they'll change to a different pattern, and that's what they've literally done.
There's a couple of YouTube videos of people who've done like really complicated ones of that. You can see these really cool patterns.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yes,
that's really,
really
cool.
Interesting.
Cool.
And actually there are certain words in the, I believe it's the Arabic alphabet. I may be wrong about which alphabet it is, but I think it's the Arabic alphabet that if you sing at these tones, it will form the word for it.
That's bizarre. See, now...
You know? So, like, if the word is, you know, Allah, mm-hmm. and you sing that word at the right pitch, it will form what...
The shape of the
written word.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Now, I read this article and I got sent to all these things, but they never played the song.
Okay,
and
well,
the links
I've got a link that has the song, and it's in the background of...
Because I was like, oh, yeah, right. So they saw some patterns that kind of look like it. Play me the song. If it sounds like a song, I'll believe it. So does it sound like a real song?
It's very monastic, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like Gregorian chant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's supposed to be played
sounds
that
like
way.
Gregorian chant.
All right. Because I was like, it sounds like they're pushing it.
It's really interesting.
But, okay, that's cool. Look at it. I can't wait for the link.
All right. So, kryptonite, which robs Superman of his powers.
Oh, God.
is now real.
Yeah.
Krypton no longer a gas. We have now found kryptonite, where it was a mineral, and they found it by geologists in Serbia. And it shares virtually the same chemical composition as the fictional kryptonite from outer space.
Which is the dumbest statement I've ever heard.
No,
of.
Okay, well,
it's not.
Let's explain this.
Okay, please.
Basically, there's a mine where he's talking about where they find this new compound.
Okay.
And they're like, what the hell is this? So they send it to this scientist who researches it, and he figures out what it is. He gives it a name. And as he's finishing up the work he's doing, he searches the internet to see if there's anything on this name in the internet.
On the specific chemical compound.
And he is stunned to find an old comic book page that's got kryptonite in it, and it's got the actual chemical formula for kryptonite.
So somebody actually posted it somewhere.
Okay. So it was just that someone had made up a fictitious chemical compound
of kryptonite.
And this was the same thing. It's not anything like kryptonite. It's not green. In fact, you know, the closest it comes to being glowing is that under certain lights it glows orange.
Yeah, it's non-radioactive.
It's red kryptonite?
It's white.
Orange kryptonite.
It's white kryptonite, actually. Oh, okay. Yeah. It glows orange under
fluorescent light.
They did have gold kryptonite in a couple of the really old comics.
But it is actually called Jadarite, and it's going to go on show in London's Natural History Museum.
They couldn't call it kryptonite?
They can't because there's a krypton gas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Which is actually named after the Superman.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
You can't have KNKN on the thing. Although you can get GK now from the Geeks On store.
True.
Promo.
Geekite.
Sorry. Bing.
Well, from my news story, leave it to me to bring the chocolate lovers their news for the week. Rarely do documents making their way through federal agencies cause chocolate lovers to totally melt down. Then came Appendix C.
Top meltdown?
Accompanying a 35-page petition signed by a diverse set of culinary groups, such as juice producers, meat canners, and the chocolate lobby. Yes, there is a chocolate lobby. The appendix charts propose changes to food standard definitions set by the Food and Drug Administration, including this one. Use of a vegetable fat in place of another vegetable fat named in the standard. For example, cocoa fat.
Okay.
So they can replace cocoa fat.
So they can stop using cocoa butter, cocoa fat, and start using vegetable oil in place of it.
Oh, come on. Right?
Currently, if they want to do that, you can't call the end product chocolate. It can only be called chocolatey or chocolate flavored, right?
And there is a difference.
There is a huge difference to those of you who have ever tried anything called, you know, chocolatey Snickers or something like that. It's not the same.
It's like cheese and cheesy.
Exactly.
Big difference.
And this is something that, like, I don't think this would ever cut it in Europe. Like, Europe would never let anything like this slide through.
Of course not.
And a lot of Americans are not happy at the prospect.
Have you ever been to the Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania?
I have not. I don't think they would allow me in.
You get so hungry there.
It smells all the time.
It's chocolate all the time. They put it in the wood chips, what they surround everything with.
Uh-huh.
So you just walk around and there's this smell of chocolate in the air.
I'd have a ruptured stomach by the end of the day because I've gorged myself on wood chips.
So... You know? Is this going forward, or what's the deal?
It is still moving forward through the Congress right now. Call your local representative and senator now.
Yeah, through the bowels of Congress, the chocolate bill is moving through.
I have a link to this. Now, this is an old news story. It's from earlier this month, I believe.
Okay. So the chocolate
bill move on it now.
Speaking of...
MoveOnChocolate.com.
Speaking of legal travesties, you guys hear about Paris Hilton?
Yeah. Did she get off?
I think my wife just told me that she's getting off.
Oh, okay.
How is she getting off?
I don't know.
Who gives a crap?
She's Paris Hilton.
The only way I can imagine her getting off is, what happened in Hawaii.
I've seen videos of her getting off.
Yeah, I know.
With Michelle Rodriguez. She was convicted for drunken driving. She was supposed to go to jail for something like a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up at the jail and there was no room. So she was turned away after having served 4 hours.
No room
at the
end.
That's not the case here.
Bull crap.
All right, great. Rich people get off of going to jail. Ding, ding. There's something I didn't know.
Judge should have put her in there and made her serve every freaking
judge
second.
Did.
He did.
The judge did.
I don't know what.
Appeal, isn't it?
The judge was very harsh to her when he was very harsh.
Yeah. Well, he was, you know? And they appealed it on that he was being too harsh. That he was making an example of her because of her stature. My favorite thing was that she created, or somebody created, a MySpace page, which was a petition to get, you know, keep Paris free, you know.
Free Paris.
Free Paris. And it's basically saying, because Paris brings excitement to our mundane lives.
And beauty.
To our mundane lives.
What beauty has Paris Hilton brought anywhere?
She doesn't bring any beauty, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Getting back to the chocolate thing real quickly, and I'll try to find the link, but there's someone has a great link of how to make a Han frozen in carbonite chocolate bar.
Oh, that was awesome, yeah.
So we'll put a link to that because that's very cool.
Yes. Aaron?
I'm done with news.
I'm
using Aaron's airtime for another
discussion. I was going to bring up Spider-Man, but I think maybe we should have a whole show about Spider-Man.
Oh, I was going to use up our airtime for Spider-Man.
Don't you think we should have a good show about Spider-Man?
Let's do a show on it.
I'm not sure if there's that much to talk about with it.
Let's do the next. I can at least talk two and a half hours.
Okay.
Fair enough. The length of the damn movie.
Well, we should probably just do a mini review real quick.
All right.
You know, mini review. We're not going to discuss any specifics. Was it thumbs up or thumbs down? Geek Aaron, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Can I do thumbs in the middle? Because
you sure can.
It's a pretty bad movie, but you know what? I was okay with it. You know, was pretty disappointing. The story is utter crap.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, he shot some webbing and there was some monsters. I was like, all right, fine, whatever.
All right, Peter.
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
But I've had my suspicions because, in general, when you put as much different villains into a thing at once, they've got three villains. They've got Venom. They've got...
I don't think that was the major problem.
But that's always a clue. Like, every bat... I mean, name a great movie, almost any great movie that's got three main bad guys.
Yeah, but I felt like they handled going back and forth between the... No, I don't want to do it.
I agree with you on that. I think two works, three doesn't. Two villains has worked in the past.
I don't think so. Because the only places I've seen it ever work are, for example, the Penguin.
That's my example.
Catwoman
was not a villain.
Not just a villain. She's the romantic lead.
I agree.
Playing a different role.
All right. Well, that's a discussion.
Let's move on. Okay. See, I told you we could have a show.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Geek Matt.
Thumbs across. And I'm leaving it at that.
Okay. This is Geeks Done. I'm giving it thumbs across and slightly down.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the first two movies.
Maybe if I hadn't seen the first two movies, I could have been more forgiving of the flaws in this one.
Even if I saw this alone, it would have definitely been.
We'll go into it.
I'm not sure.
Here, hit it.
My last news story is: top U.S. court clears way for more patent challenges. Basically, the U.S. Supreme Court made it easier to challenge patents for failing to introduce genuine innovations when they unanimously overturned a decades-old test that lower courts that handle patent appeals used, and the question of whether or not something is obvious.
You can't patent the wheel again.
You cannot patent something that's obvious, and in this case, this was over a gas pedal that's an adjustable gas pedal, and they said basically they were just, you know, combining two prior inventions.
Oh, okay.
And that's, you know, that's obvious. It's not like it's not a major thing. And basically, I've got a big issue with the patent system anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's probably going to lead to a lot of court battles. Where that line is drawn.
Yeah, where that line run. I mean, you can't invent shoelaces, but what about the things that help you insert your shoelaces through the hole? You know, a little plastic covering on the top of it. That's a good invention, but you're still effectively.
You know, the thing about it is that,
or a fatty shoelace as opposed to a shoelace. But those were really popular.
I'd say yes to the first one, no to the second.
Fatty shoelace?
Fatty shoelace is
What about neon fatty shoelace?
That's a colored shoelace.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Can't patent color.
I mean, basically, here's the thing, you know, and we should probably do an episode on patents.
A pet rock?
I'm not even going to get into it. We should do an episode on patents.
We need to get somebody who knows what they're talking about, like a lawyer or something.
Well, I could bring a lawyer on the show. Hang on. I actually have a patent lawyer.
Let's go.
I know one.
Bring it.
All right. All right,
I think patent law needs to be reformed. Okay, moving on.
All right. So there's a couple of things. There are a couple of weird medical things which I thought were really interesting. One was that they found a way that blood groups can be converted. They found a way to strip A, B, and AB off of blood and turn all blood into O negative.
Really?
Which is un-be-frickin-leavable. And if they're able to do this, it means it will not change. Will not change the supply of blood. However, we still need people to donate blood and as much as possible.
But it becomes more flexible.
But it becomes much more flexible.
Yeah,
yeah. And I want to find out what this company is and get in on the ground floor.
Well, it depends on how long the process and how expensive it is to make. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of great inventions that don't work because it takes too much resources. So I hope that they.
The new technique works by using bacterial enzymes to cut sugar molecules from the surface of red blood cells.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
Oh, please. Isn't that one of those obvious patents?
Yeah. See, I mean, blood already exists. It's already blood.
Please. I thought of that last week.
I'm totally with Aaron on this one.
Yeah. Exactly. And the other thing is, it was this very, very strange news story about a woman who had a boob on her foot.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Everybody
saw
that.
Oh, the nipple on the foot.
The nipple on the foot. Yeah. I mean, that
was... I sent that around to everybody I knew.
That was weird, man.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
Sounds painful.
And especially as somebody... when I was reading about it, you know, and not that the geek listeners know, but I have four nipples. So,
like you. He's not joking, by
I'm
the
not
way.
Joking.
Yeah, but only two of them lactate.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it called? What's it called?
I think it's called gynecomastia, but I'm not sure what it's...
Mark of the wolf or something
like
that?
Yeah, it's in men, it's supposedly the mark of the wolf in
Spain. Well, that's kind of butching it up, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it was totally...
I've got four nipples.
No, I've got the mark of the wolf.
Yeah, totally.
But, I wonder which one was invented by the man.
Yeah. But what I found out was, if women have these extra nipples, a lot of, and they're on the nipple line, a lot of the time the extra nipples will form into full breasts.
Didn't you ever see the Battlestar Galactica pilot, the original? The singers with the four breasts and all that?
No.
Yeah, well, it was because of they had my condition.
I saw the...
Mark of the Wolf.
Yes.
What was the movie where she had three boobs?
That was Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Yeah.
So, you brought this up. It reminded me of a news story, which I should have brought in. Since I don't have it in front of me, I'm just going to have to try and remember it as best I can. But basically, they were doing a study where someone was looking at cells of someone who had recently passed away.
Oh,
and
God,
she was looking at them under a microscope, and she was surprised that the cells still looked like they were alive.
Right.
And she was shocked because they shouldn't an hour afterwards.
Right.
And what they began to realize is that cells don't die when someone goes through oxygen deprivation. They die when the oxygen is reintroduced. So it's something about the process of putting the oxygen back into the body is when the cell actually dies. It's still alive for that hour or so. You know, it takes a while for them to truly die off. So what they realized is that the standard process when someone, like, you know, suffocates or drowns or something is to just dump oxygen into their system. They realized this is the exact wrong thing. So they, in a study, they started doing all these things to put the oxygen, slowly reintroduce it into the body instead of massively
introducing.
And where their success rate before had been something like 25% with the massive amount of oxygen, it was now like 80% revival rate.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a huge change.
So all those people who have died in outer space in the vacuum are still, like, alive.
Yeah.
Alive!
Well, also, if you
other
just
than that,
died...
they've completely been inverted.
Also, if you just died and your cells are still alive, does that mean you're going through this process? I mean, because those cells, are they still transmitting information to your brain?
I don't know. I think they're in some sort of stasis.
Watch Brainstorm.
Brainstorm?
Awesome movie.
Okay.
Watch it.
The old one?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there a new one?
Christopher Walken, Natalie Wood died in the middle of the making of it. Awesome.
Christopher Walken died in the middle of making it?
No. Natalie Wood. Oh. We have an awesome interview.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Cool person.
We brought a cool person
into my house.
To Geeks On.
And actually exposed a few little geeky elements to his personality.
Brief, small, tiny geeky elements. I think that they're kind of considered a geek band, though.
Yeah. I totally think
they could geek rock.
We have Mr.
Tim Nordwind of OK Go.
From Geeks On.
Geeks Go.
Geeks Go.
Yes.
Okay Tim
Go.
Nordwind of OK Go.
OK Go came by and had a great conversation with us, and we've got it.
For those of you who aren't familiar with OK Go, you actually are. Most likely, you've seen the internet viral video
of
the bunch of guys doing their song on the treadmills with this intricately choreographed moving piece. If you haven't seen that, you may have seen their other video.
We will,
where it's kind of a fun, boppy dance routine being done by dozens and dozens and dozens of people intercut with each other.
Yeah.
So we will put links to YouTube where you can go see these videos.
Yes. They will not be deep linked, however.
Yeah, so if you are not familiar with the band, put us on pause, go check out the videos, and then come on back and listen to Tim tell us about some fun stuff.
Yeah,
we get geeky.
Check it out. Here it is.
The Lake Nurse
Casino.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Nordwind!
Yeah.
the first rock star of Geeks On.
Yes. Oh,
wow. I'm honored. Thank
Famed
you.
Famed bassist of OK Go.
I'm honored that you think of me as a rock star.
Peter, no throwing your underwear.
Yes, thank you very much for being here. I hear
Thanks
that you're
me.
On a half a world tour.
Yes.
In the middle of a full world tour.
That's right.
And
that's
Geeks
right.
On is the exact half world stop.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. Halfway.
That's right. We most recently got done touring with a band called Snow Patrol.
Okay.
We're from the UK, and we're about to go on tour with a band called The Fray in
the
June.
The Fray.
Yeah.
And where were you, and where are you going?
We were in Europe and North America, and then we're going to do some more Northern American touring. And then in July we go to Europe. August we go to Taiwan, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. And then we call it quits for this record.
Man.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do the treadmills go with you?
No. The treadmills don't go. It's funny. A lot of people ask us that, obviously.
Just a lot of people ask us that question.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
question, Peter.
But the new Stairmaster routine is incredible.
Yeah, right. But, there's a lot of reasons why we don't. Even if you think about it in a practical sense, like, it would be a very expensive thing to do. And yeah. we normally don't play on stages even big enough to hold 8 treadmills.
Right.
You know, wow. We often don't even play in places that have, like, the electrical power to run 8 treadmills.
Just a bunch of people with flashlights pointed
yeah,
at you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And just polish floor and wear socks. You could probably do the same thing that
yeah,
way.
Right. Right.
How long are
I
your,
don't think so.
How long are your tours? I have a friend who tours with Rancid and videotapes them, and she's gone all the time. So how long is this lasting?
I guess it's worth noting that we have been on tour supporting this record for 2.5 years now.
Wow.
Lord.
Yeah, almost nonstop. I'm now home here in Los Angeles for a month, which is the longest time we've had off in 2 years, two and a half years.
Man. To our listeners who don't know, you know, you did an internet video, 2 years ago, was it?
Yeah. Actually, 2 years ago this weekend.
Really?
So yes. Like, happy anniversary.
Well, the reason I know this is because our singer, Damien, has a sister named Trish who choreographed
Here It Goes Again.
Here It Goes Again.
Them,
and
right?
and also A Million Ways.
Right.
She came here 2 years ago, just this weekend, and I know this because her son Walter was with her at the time, and we celebrated his birthday, and I'm coming from his birthday party to talk to you right now.
Excellent.
Yeah. So A Million Ways was done, almost 2 years ago to the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is the tour and everything like that fallout from that first crazy internet video?
We actually had been touring before that, almost 7 months before that. But our record hadn't come out yet.
Right.
And we were basically choreographing a dance routine to end our live shows with. It was never meant to be a video. A Million Ways was never meant to be a video. But after we had choreographed the whole thing in Damien's living room with no mirrors or anything, we realized we hadn't seen what the dance looked like. So we decided to just set up a camera and tape it, and we thought it was, we thought it was pretty good dance we had come up with, and we made a link to send to our friends and stuff like that. And about 2 months later, our friends started passing it around. It was on people's MySpace pages and things like that, and it just blew up all
so
of a sudden.
So you mean the practice tape was the one that was sent out?
The practice tape,
that's the one
and it's
see.
The one that you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought you guys were like, all right, let's...
No,
produce this a little bit and get a guy to.
No. We literally set up a camera, shot the practice of it, showed it to our friends. Who and our friends, our friends were the ones that said, you really should. This should be your single, and this should be, and this should be your video. And our label had already picked a different song, and we were underway to shoot a bigger budget video for a song called "Do What You Want," which we did do with a director named Olivier Gondry, who's the brother of Michel Gondry.
Oh, okay.
While we were doing this bigger budget video, A Million Ways was sort of making its way around the internet. And about 2 months later, all of a sudden Entertainment Weekly was writing about it. And Good Morning America
and
asked
us to
perform.
And how much did you spend on the first one? $3 for the tape?
Yeah, it was basically $3 for the tape. There's a lot of coffee runs if you add that in.
Okay, so this internet infamy was caused just by you sending it out to a couple friends.
Yeah.
You didn't even post it to YouTube or anything. It was just
YouTube,
word of mouth.
We didn't even know what YouTube was at the time, actually. Because this was 2 years ago, And YouTube, although I think it existed then, but I can't even remember.
I don't think not many people were.
But
it wasn't that big.
It was not big at all. I mean, it was, we sort of fancy ourselves as people who know about these things, and I remember not knowing about it then,
You fancy yourself a geek?
Oh, I don't know. I don't like to label myself.
How
but,
dare you? You
know? Embrace your geekiness.
Yeah, right.
Embrace it.
But yeah, it was more just, it was more, a million ways made it more onto like blog sites and, right. you know, and I do remember, and MySpace was just sort of at its peak, I think, then. And so, you know, people were putting it up on their page and things like that.
It's crazy. Yeah. So when you look at the demographic of the listeners that now come to your shows.
Yeah.
Are they geeky because they have access to the internet and they and you guys have gotten popular through this?
Or yeah, is the internet a filter of your fans at all?
Right.
Sure, somewhat. Yeah.
Like the Luddites are like, well, I've never seen this video. I mean, like.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, and definitely, especially, you know, I mean, yes, it started with A Million Ways and then it really blew up with Here It Goes.
Yeah.
Here It Goes Again, which is the treadmill video.
Yeah, I sent that out to about 120 people. I thought that was the coolest video.
Oh, thank you.
In forever.
Thank you.
And that's the one I watched again this morning, and the freaking songs are going around in my freaking head all day.
Damn you!
Thank you.
I mean, that video definitely opened us up to a whole new, you know, listenership. And you know, I remember being stopped on 42nd Street one time in New York by a woman who must have been 82 years old. It was like, oh my God, Morty, get over here. That's the kid on the treadmill video, you know? And she's like, my granddaughter sent me the link, you know? It's crazy. Like, you know,
Years later, it's easier to get it.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, grandmothers love it because it's not someone getting kicked in the nuts or like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like, you know,
was it a conscious choice not to have a half naked woman gyrating on the treadmills while you're doing
that was a conscious choice.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Respect that.
So yeah. That video, you knew you maybe were going to have the success if you semi-recreated the Let's just point the camera at the wall, take up some plastic back, and go.
Yeah, definitely. Once we saw how well A Million Ways did, we thought to ourselves, we should try to now make one on purpose. And we called Trish again. Uh-huh. And we said, you know, we want to make another dance, you know, just a one shot dance video. But we need to like ratchet up the level of absurdity. And she just like flat out had this idea for treadmills. It's just like, oh, how about you do it on treadmills? And we were like, great.
Okay. Had she watched a lot of Jamiroquai videos or something?
Well,
like that?
That's funny. There is a move in that treadmill video that we call the Jamiroquai, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, the thing that's interesting about that is, you know, getting a viral anything on the internet is, to me, just sheer crazy happenstance.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So then to create one is usually disastrous.
We are, you know,
NBC is work. What we need to do is viral videos.
Exactly.
We're going to be the next Star Wars kid. Mm-hmm. So I'm shocked that you were able to recreate and even surpass that
It's funny you should say that, actually, because, I mean, basically, yeah, I mean, our label was kind of like, oh, you should make another one. And our manager was like, oh, you should make another one.
Yeah, I'm sure
and,
they did.
And the thing is, you know, we thought, like, we probably did have a good one in us, but we figured it was either the best or just, like, the fucking worst idea in the world to try to recreate it. And we knew that going in, you know, and it's also precisely why we shot it a year before we ever released it, because you know there's all sorts of, you know, there are all sorts of things kind of going through our mind at the time, which was like, well, do we really want to be known as
the internet video guys,
which we already sort of were, and you know, and you know, and we sort of knew that that was going to be something, you know, a little bit of a price
to pay. But it's a really good song too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like, I don't
think it would be the phenomenon that it was if it was a bad song.
Well, I don't think we would do it if we didn't like our album. If that makes sense. Like the thing is like we had and still have a lot of confidence in the album and in the songs, and which was sort of precisely why we thought like, well, so let's do it. You know, we like the music. We think other people like the music, and we've got a good idea, and we think it's going to be really fun. You know, and that's kind of the, you know, I mean, that's the whole reason we do this in the first place, is because we like to make things, and you know, we like to have fun doing it.
We guys are artists. So I had a weird question. Prince a while back said that managers and agents are unnecessary. Mm-hmm. That it should be straight out artist to public, and that's what it should be.
Are we getting to this? Because I've got a whole list.
Bring it up. But But with the music industry, you know, I mean, they're taking huge hits now with the fact that everything's iTunes and all that stuff.
I'd argue against that.
You think you don't think they're taking major hits?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll argue that in a different. But okay. You know, do you think do you think that the industry is heading towards that 1-to-1 relationship, artist to audience? Would you want it to do that, or you know?
It's hard to say. I mean, that's the nice thing.
I don't
want
you to piss off your agent either.
Yeah. Right. No. I think it's important to have. As you know, artists or anyone really, to have advisors of some sort, you know, to kind of keep you in check. You know, even if they tell you something's a bad idea and you decide to say, "Fuck off," no, it's not. You know,
like
it's
a business
it's
advisor.
Yeah, well, a business advisor, even a creative advisor, though. You know, okay,
Star Wars 1, 2, and 3.
I do. Yeah. Right. I mean, I do sort of feel like it is always important to have people checking you all the time.
Okay.
You know, but then. That said, I mean, you know, I think it's nice. I think it's nicer if the artist can sort of hand pick who those people are going to be instead of getting assigned these people, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the great thing, I guess, about YouTube and things like that is it does cut out the middleman pretty well, you know. I mean, that's the one thing we found out is we made something and we put it on, you know, and then we shared it with people and we didn't have to really deal with a middleman so much, you know.
All right, well, then that leads to a question of mine, and we'll probably get back to this thread, but I'm curious about how you feel about ownership of art and digital rights management, because essentially what you allowed people to do was to steal your content for a while.
Right.
Or it's still up there.
It's still
up there. So right now, a lot of the music industry is telling us that pretty soon, if we go down this path, we're never going to hear music ever again. Music is going to die because the music industry is crashing. Mm-hmm. These big companies.
Yeah.
Digital rights management. We have to control, you know, piracy this, piracy that. Do you feel that this type of environment actually gives smaller artists a chance and the ability to make money? Like, do you feel like you're making more money now that people have stolen your content at the beginning than if you had gone the traditional route?
That's a several layered question.
Yes.
I think now more than ever, little bands definitely have a chance to have a bigger voice with the internet and things like that. You know, it's like you know, if you're not on a label, but you've got a MySpace page, anyone can go listen to your music.
Yeah.
And
you get a greater amount of fans too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when it comes to like, you know, people actually downloading your stuff, that's obviously a trickier question. I mean, yes, we have definitely benefited in certain ways from people
stealing
our stuff.
And I only use the term steal because that's the term being used.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily put it under this context, but you put it out there. But
I think the thing with, you know, with musicians and the music industry right now is like, you know, as a musician, I think, you know, OK Go and bands like ours are going to have to figure out other ways to make a living other than selling your records, you know. And, you know, we've never really, OK Go's never really sold enough records to really make a sweet living anyways, you know. I mean,
even with the success of
the record's selling fine and everything like that, but you know, I think
you guys hit number 2 on the charts or something crazy.
It's all stolen music, man.
It made a sense.
But you know, but I have to say, you know, the place probably where I've seen the biggest difference is like, you know, like at our live shows and stuff like that. I mean, we've doubled the amount of, you know, maybe even tripled the amount of people who come to see us at the live show. And you know, I think, you know, at some point, you know, maybe they'll get a hold of a way to, you know, strike a deal with the public where, you know, you get a few cents a song and, you know, something like that. But at this point, you know, also, you know, I think we as musicians just sort of have to sort of figure out other avenues to hit, you know, and to go down.
Well, you know, I believe that the reason why most people are stealing music is because
you can.
They can, but also because they weren't given what they wanted originally, which is the ability to download a song very quickly and cheaply, like iTunes.
Yeah,
I think iTunes makes good money.
Yes,
but that was about
10 years too late.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The sad part to me is that iTunes or something like that mm-hmm. wasn't the thing that introduced digital downloads.
Yes,
to everybody.
Right. Yeah,
so
you might be right. Yeah,
people wanted it. Mm-hmm. They wanted it right then. They want it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They've got yeah. the damn song stuck in their head.
Yeah.
They either wait mm-hmm. until the morning, go and search for it, or they can go and download it for free.
Yeah. Well, you might be right because you know kids under the age of 28. Probably are basically used to getting their music for free. You know,
right.
I mean, I grew up paying for music, and I grew up liking albums, you know, yeah. and liking artwork and
well, how do you feel about individual downloads? I have a musician friend yeah. who loves to buy the album because
yeah.
they want to see how the artist presented
sure.
the work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I know, well, I'm one of those people who buy a song at a time.
I'm a single song guy. Actually, your album was one of the few ones that I bought the whole album.
Oh, well, thank yeah. you. Well,
like, my thing, though, is, like, I have a threshold. If, like, 50% of the album is music I'll listen to, mm-hmm. I will buy the album. If
yeah.
less than
yeah.
that,
yeah.
I will not.
Exactly. Yeah, you know? I do the
well,
same.
And now, I think iTunes is doing a deal now where, like, you know, if you download one song, then you get a discount for the other nine or something like that. Like,
yeah.
is there a deal like that?
I think it ends up being cheaper if you buy the grouping.
Yeah.
And so you kind of make that little decision.
Yeah. You're also being sneaky in certain ways. There'll be like certain songs are like album only.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, right.
But you know, like, to me, this is that type of thing is fine. You know, they're trying to make incentive to, they're trying to figure out how to make all this crazy stuff work. And
yeah.
those may not work, but at least they're trying something
different. Yeah, they're trying
different.
Something.
You know,
that's
they're
good.
Trying something different. Mm-hmm. To see if it works.
Well, it's a lot like, I mean, it reminds me of, not that I was alive in the 50s and 60s, but, you know, but
you
but
were?
That's, I wasn't.
Spiritually.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, that's the way they used to sell songs and records, you know, it was like, you know,
you get your little 45.
Seven, 45 at a
yeah.
time, you know, when
right.
you had an A side and a B side, and when you had enough A sides and B sides, then you put it out as a collection and called it an album, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and
do you think that the current trend is actually returning to?
That's what it looks like to me. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it'll operate as such, but that's certainly what it kind of seems like to me.
And
yeah.
have you discussed, or is there is there talk out there mm-hmm. about other avenues of making money besides just the standard direct? You have to buy the album. This is the only way
yeah.
it's going to work. Is there?
Yeah, what do you hear from the business managers and like that on your end? I mean, do you hear them going, "Oh, we've got to avoid people stealing your stuff now"? It's
tough because it's just happening. It just is. You know, that's what's happening.
Does anybody approach you with anything else that seems that might work? Or
yeah, I mean, other things that have, you know, helped us to keep the lights on, as they say.
Uh-huh.
We've a lot of the songs on our record have been licensed a lot to, you know, to commercials and movies
yeah,
and things like that. And
you were on an iPod commercial.
Yeah, we were on an iPod commercial,
like,
JCPenney commercial, you know,
right.
things like
yeah.
that. And you know, so things like that have helped a lot. Like I said, the live aspect of what we do, you know, just the going out and touring and stuff like that, you know, is finally, after 8 years, becoming somewhat profitable for us. You know, I mean, it's been a deficit business
yeah,
for a long
for
time.
8 years.
For a long time, yeah.
Well, you know, that's, you know, you got any artist knows
yeah.
that
yeah.
that's your. Probably going to be the way it's going to be.
Oh, that's the thing.
So,
I mean, it's no secret, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're in a band, you figure that out pretty quick. That it's
yeah.
like, you know, like merch, touring, licensing. You know, is
yeah.
you know, and like, and if you happen to be, you know, the 0.5% that sells over 1 million records or something like that. You know,
Guitar Hero. Come on, we want to hear one of your songs on Guitar Hero.
You know, I've never played Guitar Hero.
No, what?
Yeah.
All right, afterwards we'll load up.
Okay,
guitar.
All right, I've never played.
We'll
and in
fix
fact,
this.
We were recently inducted as honorary members to the Harvard National Lampoon Society.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we had basically like a whole days long worth of activities with them, and they set up a sort of like, do you remember that show Double Dare on Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They set up a Double Dare type event for us, and the final event was Guitar Hero. So we sent our guitarist, who had never played either, but we figured if anyone's gonna rock this one, it's Andy, our guitarist, and they just trounced on him.
Yeah.
It was so sad. It was so pathetic.
We had a guitarist over here. We had a Guitar Hero party, so there was a whole bunch of people here, and he
yeah.
said, "I play guitar," and he got on there.
Like, what? What is going on?
I like Is it Karaoke Revolution?
I haven't played that yet, but
that's a good one.
We have an inside track to that one. We're looking forward to getting that one
over soon.
Yeah, that's a great one. I have.
So, do you think like things like MTV and VH1, now that they're doing all reality shows rather than videos, are they done? Is the internet where you go to get your video seen by everybody?
That's what everyone's saying.
You know, it's part of the YouTube generation and not the MTV generation.
It seems to be. Here It Goes Again actually did make it onto VH1 and MTV.
Is that still the benchmark, though? I mean, is it like, you know, like, yay, you were on Saturday Night Live?
It is still important. It is still important, you know. Definitely. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly does help.
Right.
But
you're probably still reaching a different crowd still, a portion, who aren't cruising YouTube every day, checking whatever is new,
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is the more people that see it, the more sales you're going to get.
So
I guess that's avenue of getting it to new people is great.
Right.
Right.
How old does your demographic tend to be, the guys coming to your show?
Boy, it's...
Well, you obviously have 82-year-old listeners.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it ranges anywhere from about, 8 to 82, basically.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the average age is probably about 17, and female. Yes, 17 and female.
Yeah, you could have the young boy crowd, which doesn't sound as fun.
Well, hey, you know what? They're invited.
Yeah. As long as they got the money.
I have a question on the treadmill video.
Yeah.
Were there any injuries, any kind of, because that's pretty crazy stuff you were doing there.
Yeah, there really weren't any physical injuries. They were more emotional than anything.
And here's another one that I know that you've been asked a million times, but I've been nagged to ask you, which is how long did it take you to get that shot?
Well,
how many takes?
It took, let's see. I guess the whole story is that it was about 8 days of rehearsals, about 7 hours a day.
Wow.
And then it was pretty intense.
You guys are not afraid of work.
No. But both those dances, actually, Million Ways and Here It Goes Again.
Steel by the end.
Yeah, right. It gets us in shape, and I mean, we take this stuff pretty seriously.
Well,
actually,
if it's your job, if you're not taking it seriously, you might as well just go home.
But on the ninth day. Sounds like the story of Hanukkah.
Like,
sounds like Hanukkah. And on the ninth day, we shot pretty much for like an entire afternoon. We did about 19 takes altogether, of which we completed it 4 times.
Okay,
I think
Bad. I mean, that's not much.
No, it's not much. Although it felt like a lot. It's a pretty physical workout.
Well, how long is the song? Song's 3.5, 4 minutes.
Yeah,
long.
Yeah.
That's long.
Yeah, I mean,
oh no, it's long, but
I think
you'd be going for days. Choreograph a 3-minute fight scene, and it's like and you're not running on treadmills.
Yeah. Right. I think we ended up taking the 14th take.
Oh, okay.
Taking the 14th take.
So you took the last shot.
No, I think there were closer. There were about 5 other takes after that.
I wonder if he nailed it on the first one.
No, and in fact, there's a lot of... I don't think there's any take where we didn't screw up a little bit. Even on the one that you've seen, that's out there. We do a move called the Jamiroquai, which Damien, our singer, invented, but he actually messes it up in the video.
What is the Jamiroquai move?
It's
the surfing.
It's kind of we all do it in unison, and it's kind of like it's sort of like a
Weird
it's a
skating.
360 degree turn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
okay,
like with your shoulders going back and forth, and
right.
Damien slips at one point, which a lot of people remind him of.
But Damien's the lead singer, so why do you lip sync on both of those?
I guess
the lead singer lip sync.
Right. I'm the lead lip syncer. I guess it's kind of an OK Go tradition at this point. On our first album, we ended our live shows with a song called Sissa Cinnamon Lips,
right.
Which is the only OK Go song that I actually really do sing lead vocals on. That's
a great song.
Thank you very much. And that was the original. That was actually the original choreographed dance.
Did you write that
we
one?
Did.
With
yes, I did. Yeah. We were asked to lip sync on a cable access or public access show in Chicago when we used to live in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to play air guitar. But we sort of thought, like, well, if we're going to lip sync, we should swing for the fences. And so we made this choreographed dance to Sissa Cinnamon Lips, and it, at that time it made sense for me to sing it because I was the actual lead singer of the song. When we decided, and then we then would end our live shows with that on our first album. And so when it came time to make a second album, we sort of thought, like, well, we need to do another one, and that's why we did A Million Ways. But we thought it would be kind of funny for me to continue fronting it, even though I didn't actually sing the song anymore. Only that, especially in Europe, you know, people get very confused.
It's like, what the, oh, you're Damien!
Yeah.
Oh, I love the way you're singing the song.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a really good accent. But not really. I mean, we sort of enjoy confusing people, and that sufficiently does it.
All right, you outed yourself a little bit, because before you came in, you mentioned that Damien had gotten married, and that all the rest of the boys in the band have either married or they have respective others.
Yes, right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
what's up with bands these days? Like, what? Rancid, they're like vegetarian, they don't drink, they're all like
different times.
I'm like, come on, people.
Yeah,
Aaron,
let's
the
go.
The Beastie Boys want to save Tibet. I think it was downhill. But okay, so now I've read a lot of your lyrics.
Yes.
And a lot of those songs that you've written with Damien are all about heartache and girls breaking up with you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that must be, is that you?
That's my heartache. And my bad luck.
So that makes you an honorary geek right there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
You know?
We don't talk about Jesus. God, look, you're supposed to bury that stuff and then, you know, shoot someone from a bell tower.
Right.
Aaron. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Us geeks get all pissed
off.
You're going to have to edit that.
I guess you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'll look for that on the edit, Aaron.
Yeah, I'll probably edit that.
So the thing that was interesting to me is a lot of this is sort of improv. I mean, it's like you guys are creating this real serious artistry, and it felt to me a lot like the performance art of Second City and the improv and stuff like that. And I wondered whether or not you thought there was a Chicago influence to it and to your method of doing videos, doing songs, doing stuff like that.
I think there's certainly like an ethic there, you know, like with improv. And I mean, you know, I personally grew up a huge Second City fan and a huge Saturday Night Live fan and things like that. I grew up in Michigan. My parents would take me to Chicago and used to go see Second City all the time.
In case anyone out there in Geekland is wondering, the connection to Tidden Nordwind is my fiance used to drive him to school.
That's right. Right. And tutor me in math.
She used to tutor you in math?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Was she a good tutor?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's really good.
Chat knows math?
Exactly. She dropped that knowledge.
Yeah, wow. Well, she knew it at one point.
I'm supposed to also ask you if you dated Joanne or Suzanne in school.
I dated a girl named Suzanne.
It was Suzanne.
In
she
high
was
school.
The one on the swim team?
With Catherine, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is like inside question.
I wanted to get the inside question. I was looking for dirt, and Kat said no, he was really good.
That's all she had?
Yeah.
I remember, because Catherine was my next-door neighbor, basically.
Yeah, she said she just heard you practicing all day.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I played, you know, I always had like high school bands or whatever. Mm-hmm. And instead of practicing in the garage or in the basement, we had my family had this house with a screened in porch.
Right.
And I sort of felt like, you know, the best way to test this stuff is to like play it for the neighbors, you know, like,
oh,
you know,
God.
Like, and so we used to set up in this porch and I remember like Catherine would like scream like, yeah, you know, from across the way. And
damn, kids are jumping around the backyard.
We used to give her private shows on the daily.
Oh my.
On the daily. Yeah. Yeah, but
Matt's looking nervous now. Wait a second.
Oh, no. I was 14 and pimply. She was, like, you know, she was a much older woman at that time.
Exactly.
Right? She was a good two
way
years
out of your
older.
League at that time.
Yeah, right.
She was
right.
The crazy, you know, swim team girl.
Exactly.
So when did you meet Damien? Damien was the first one you met?
Damien and I met at summer camp when I was 11 and he was 12. We went to like an arts camp in northern Michigan called Interlochen. I don't know if you know Interlochen or not. I was there.
That's for violinists.
Oh yeah, that's for violinists.
Well, it's a music camp. It's basically like an arts camp. I went there for theater, and he went for visual arts. And neither one of us went for music. And And that's, yeah, we met when we were 11 and 12. He's from D.C. and I'm from Kalamazoo.
Was OK Go created then?
It's funny. That's where the name comes from, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I remember the first year there, we took an art class together, and we had this like crazy psychedelic bohemian art assistant named Kirk, mm-hmm. who he seemed like he was like 400 years old, but he was probably like 18 at the time, yeah. You know, and he just like reeked of marijuana and body odor. And and I remember, you know, they would send us out on like little drawing adventures, and we'd have to go find a tree to draw or something like that, and we'd go with a little easel and some charcoal.
Kirk just wanted to smoke up.
And I remember, you know,
Go on a drawing adventure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, come back in 2.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I remember he would kind of like walk around and hover over people, and you'd smell him coming, basically. And you know, I remember one time, you know, I was like drawing a tree or something like that, and he would kind of like look over me and then sort of give you pearls of like psychedelic wisdom, you know, yeah. And in his stoned way, he'd be like, "Okay, now touch the paper." And so you'd actually have to like feel the paper with your hand, right. And he'd be like, "Now feel the tree," and then you have to go like touch the tree, and then you'd say, "Now draw the difference." And so then you'd start to draw, right? You'd start like so you'd continue to draw and draw and draw. About 15 minutes later, he would say, "Okay." Okay, go. but the thing is, we had been going for like 20 minutes at least, you know, and so it was like, you know, but he would do that to everyone, and it sort of became, it kind of became the way that like we'd say goodbye to one another, you know, before they played Taps at the end of the night, or,
right.
You know, we'd be like, okay, go. And we just started naming all sorts of different projects that we did together as kids. Okay, go. Or like I remember in high school we had a fake grunge band from Seattle. We made this like fake documentary about a grunge band from Seattle called the Okay Goes, who made like Hindu grunge for some weird reason. I don't know why.
Funny. Yeah. Really funny.
Especially
if you know what Hindi music videos look like. Yeah. Hysterically.
Like Bhangra Grunge.
Anyways. Well, that was it. I remember we made up a song called Trucks Are Trucks. And the main line was just "Trucks are trucks, and that's okay by me." I remember that was like the main line of the song, and that was the Okay Goes. But when we both went to different universities, and then but it had always sort of been a pipe dream to kind of get together and start a band, and it just seemed like the obvious thing to.
So in college, is when it actually started.
Right after college, actually. Depending on how you define Okay Go, actually, like. Three of the members of OK Go played in a college band
was
in Chicago.
The drummer,
yeah, and then
did
our,
you kill your drummer?
No.
Well,
what?
It's like Spinal Tap.
No, yeah, not yet. Thank God. No, he's very much alive and well.
Didn't spontaneously.
Thank you for your concern.
Yeah. Didn't pack him in the band equipment.
No. I've been playing with the same drummer for a long time now.
Okay, so he's the original.
He's the original drummer and the original guitarist for OK Go. We've had two guitarists now. Both are alive. Both are named Andy, actually. But
makes things easier.
Yeah. So that was the drummer, guitarist, and I played in a band in college. And Damien, and that was in Chicago. And Damien was going to school. Brown University in Providence, and so when
you guys went to Interlochen in Brown,
Damien went to Brown, yeah. I went to the theater school
Geeks.
At DePaul University.
Oh, you did.
I studied theater.
So did I.
Yeah. Oh, you did. I actually focused on playwriting at the time, but I grew up acting. You can ask Kat.
I know. She said you were in all the plays.
I did a lot of acting.
I was like, do you remember one of them? She was like, no.
You
were the lead all the time.
Our Town, yeah. Since we all did it once.
Yeah.
It's a good guess.
I remember. I can name it. Oklahoma.
That and Greece. You know?
Greece.
South Pacific.
Is that the...
would you care to share a passage from South Pacific with us?
Belly high, I'll find it.
Now, you would make a rockin' Bloody Mary, man. That's all I
thank
say
you very
there.
Much. Thank you. Who's the woman who wrote... what's the book and adaptation, the movie adaptation? It's The Orchid...
The Orchid Thief.
Orchid Thief.
We used to... Damien and I used... we haven't done it in a while, but we used to do podcasts. And we interviewed the author of The Orchid Thief.
Oh, really?
And the same thing happened to us. That she invited us over for dinner. So we had dinner with
Did you smoke orchid up with her?
No, we didn't. We didn't. But we had dinner with her and just had this, like, dinner side chat with her and had the Pro Tools running. And we're like, God, this is, like, the best interview we've ever done. Thank you so much. And we look at the screen and there's, like a DAE error on it, you know?
That's terrible.
And we always, you know, we vowed to reschedule and never did.
Well, I noticed on your website you do have the podcast up there.
Yes.
Still.
Yeah.
Was it April, I think, was the last?
It's been a while now, yeah. Yeah, April. Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys planning on picking it back up, or is it kind
I
of
think
just...
I think we will at some point, but... Yeah, things got really busy, and it just, you know, it was tough to find time.
You can put us in as a we'll bat cleanup for you, just on or what would it be rather than batting cleanup? It would be like
substitute.
Thank you. Yes, English is hard, Don.
Sports are hard. Yeah,
sports are hard. Yeah.
What are the podcasts? I mean, is it about you guys? You guys?
No. Originally, it was to cure boredom on the road because we felt like we're in so many cities. Most months and there's usually really some interesting people in most of the cities we go to. And
right.
So we decided to, you know, get in contact with some of the people we thought were interesting and just interview
people
them. Yeah.
On the road, like you'd go into a city and schedule an interview.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
You know, I'm trying to think. We did a really good one with like Ira Glass from the host of This American Life and stuff like that.
Is that why you did This American Life when you did the show?
We knew him from before that because they used to air out of Chicago, so they were friends of ours from Chicago.
Such an amazing show.
It's the best show ever, in my opinion. Yeah.
Actually, that would be a brilliant marketing technique, mm-hmm. which would be to interview all the people that you want to interview you later.
Yeah.
So they all know exactly who you are.
Write that down.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, like when we went through Chicago at one point, we asked him if he would, you know, sit down for an interview, and we asked him what makes a good interview. That was sort of the theme of it with him. It's definitely, I mean, they're always fun and they're always interesting. It's, you know, it's a cool way.
And you have a living website. Is it constantly being updated and people can get information on there?
Yeah, okgo.net is the website, and then also there's the MySpace page.
What type of stuff can people find there? Can they check often for news?
There's always news. There's always tour dates. There's video games. There's sorts of...
video games?
Yeah, yeah.
Like what?
We have a video game where we've been kidnapped by Swedes, and you have to catch them in a car driving down
IKEA Boulevard.
It's in Chicago. We're kidnapped in Chicago by Swedes.
I've got to ask: are you running down Swedes in a car? Is that
you're chasing? Yeah, yeah. If you actually run down the Swedes, you'll kill us.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah, because we're in the car with the Swedes.
I was sort of intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we recorded our album in Sweden. So it seemed to make sense that you know, Swedes might kidnap us. Not really, but
you had to be there.
Seemed clever at the time.
Why did you record your album in Sweden?
We recorded in Sweden because the producer who we worked with is Swedish. His name is Tor Johansson. He's best known for he did all the like Cardigans albums in the late 90s.
Really?
And he did the first Franz Ferdinand record. And
I love that.
Yeah, he's great, and he wouldn't come to the States. He absolutely refused.
Did he do the Rednecks?
The Rednecks?
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Sorry, slight tangent.
He did want to do the record and asked if we'd like to go to Sweden. And we said, hell yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah, of course we would.
You said, yeah.
That's that. You know, they do a reverse thing there, with a reverse breath. Instead of saying, yeah, they go, yeah. Like that. Yeah, yeah, it's really weird. It took us about 3 weeks to get up the guts to ask them what they were doing, you know, because it'd usually be something like, okay, so we will, you know, we will record for 3 hours and then we will take a break. And then we will come back to recording again, and then we will take a dinner break, and then you will come back for 3 more hours, and then you will go home and sleep.
I don't think I would have ever caught on.
That's Linda Blair.
And we kept on like looking at each other, like, is he okay? Like, is he asthmatic or what is it? But then everyone in the studio, everybody in the studio kept doing it, and so we realized this
all the speeds have been out of water too long.
And well, what they told us that this was a northern Swedish technique because they said people don't talk very much in northern Sweden in order to conserve energy because it's so cold.
Right.
So apparently, entire conversations go back and forth in northern Sweden just like like that.
So it's a dialect.
It's a dialect, yeah.
So if
yeah.
you actually recorded their conversations and played them forward, we would understand Swedish.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting.
Yes,
interesting.
Yes, you've got it.
Wow.
You've got it.
Wow. All right. Well, is that it?
I got a few.
You do?
I have a couple of other things.
Okay.
One is that you guys really have a sound like the Cars, and like the Pixies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that deliberate? I mean, yes. What did you guys sound like originally? Were you, you know...
I mean, we are huge. I mean, the Pixies are probably our number one most favorite band ever, like ever.
Really?
Ever.
Okay.
And and definitely, you know, certainly the Cars. I mean, yes, both those bands are influences, and we deliberately tried to go for that on both of our records.
My sister's friends with one of the guys from the Pixies. He's now like a magician.
Yes, David Lovering, I think is his name. Yeah.
And like, if you meet him at a party, he'll never talk. He never talks about music or anything, but he's constantly pulling shit out of his. he comes loaded.
Yeah, he performs at the Magic Castle, I think.
Yeah,
in
he's
Los
got
Angeles.
Like a group of guys that are like the.
Come on, if you could just spend all night pulling crap out of every orifice, wouldn't you?
He literally, no matter where he goes, he's loaded to red. He's ready to go to, you know, he's going to do some.
He's a master magician.
He is.
And that's a sign of one.
Totally,
he's a good musician.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yes.
So finally, just the last thing, off of the Tim Nordwind fan club website.
Yes. Which I don't think runs anymore.
Oh, it's up.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah,
oh,
I saw it.
Right.
So,
okay.
I had these questions.
Did you forget to pay the bill?
Exactly.
The naked pictures were a little disturbing.
They're a little disturbing.
Yeah.
But there are these questions, and I don't know what they mean.
Okay.
And
I'll try to answer.
If you could let me know what they mean.
Yeah.
How has T-Rex changed your life?
Oh, right. This website was started during our first album.
Okay.
By a fan, and I remember she asked me once, you know, if I had any music I could recommend to her, and I said, you know, if there's any band that you should get that will change your life forever, it's the band T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with
Mm-mm,
or not.
I don't.
Their most famous song is probably Bang a Gong.
Oh,
which you probably know.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And they're like a late 70s British glam band.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it goes Pixies then T-Rex.
T-Rex.
Yeah. and so I told her, you know, go get the album Electric Warrior by T-Rex.
By T-Rex.
And then, you know, tell me how your life has changed.
Okay.
And so I think but it's funny though, because I guess I always assume that everyone knows who T-Rex is, but maybe that's not the wisest assumption. And so she put that on. I remember she put that on there because I think she thought it was funny that a lot of people didn't know who T-Rex was. Yeah, and so she got a lot of weird answers.
Case in point.
Yeah.
All right, so have you landed yet? And if so, would you let me know?
That is a lyric from the song Cinnamonless.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where that comes from. I'm not sure...
If you've landed yet,
I'm here. I'm here to stay. But I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure why she put that down as a question. I mean, I don't know what answer she's hoping to get from
that.
I don't know.
She's trying to be clever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite OK Go song?
What is mine?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually one that's not on either one of our records, but we released it before we were ever a signed band. We had a couple of EPs that we self produced and self released. Yes, the Brown and Pink EPs.
You'll be able to find it on Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, right. It's a nice little ditty called "It's Tough to Have a Crush," and it's just it doesn't really sound that much like us. It's it's piano and upright bass and acoustic guitar.
That's cool.
And it's a song we wrote in probably 20 minutes for our friend Susanna, who was having a tough time having a crush on a boy. And we were recording at the time, and she called crying. And then we hung up the phone and wrote that for her and recorded it like in the same day. And
cool.
It's like, it's probably the,
now I want to hear
it's the, yeah, it's like my most favorite thing we've ever done. And it was like, it took about 2 hours to do. You know?
Wow. That's awesome.
I
kind of do things like that when I'm a graphic designer, mm-hmm. and I'll come up with an idea that I'm so excited about that takes me hours and hours and hours to do. And then my client says, could you do one more? I quickly do one in 20 minutes.
And that's
and
when
it's
they
way
love.
Better.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
I guess that's, that's what they call the process. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
All right. And finally, do you fancy yourself an excellent ping pong player?
I'm an awesome ping pong player.
Really?
Yeah. In fact,
you just threw down, man.
Really?
You just threw down.
Do you know?
Well, you guys have.
Where,
you?
Do you know where to go to play ping pong in L.A.? Because I don't.
Yeah, it's our backyard over here.
You're kidding me.
No. They all pitched in and got me a ping pong deal, but I suck at it.
Fully on. You know,
Matt will take your ass down.
No, I won't.
Oh,
really?
I won't. I'm a badminton player, not
down.
A ping pong player.
You know who are really good ping pong players? Yes, but I trained with the Swedes.
Oh!
Yes. But I mentioned earlier we went on tour with Snow Patrol for about 6 weeks and just recently, and they tour with a ping pong table.
Oh.
So I played every night for 6 weeks, and they're really pretty good.
Now.
They're actually really great players. But that's, I feel like, what has made me even better.
So you're first in line to see Balls of Fury.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah. I'll be there.
That's all I got for you.
Well, cool.
Excellent. Thank you very much again for stopping here on your world tour.
Halfway.
Where you got something to drink so that you could continue on.
Thank you for the pomegranate juice.
No problem.
Yeah.
Where are you stopping next?
We start back up again. I think Austin, Texas is our next show, June 7th, and then that's for a radio festival that we're headlining, and then we go on to support the band The Fray for the rest of June in the Midwest and East Coast.
Wow. Anything else you want to promote while you're here?
Ah, boy. Did I say I'm an awesome ping pong player? That's it.
But all the tour dates are up on your site.
Everything's on okgo.net.
The whole schedule. Okay, so everyone can...
Or if they want to go to MySpace, you know,
we'll
become
put
our friends.
We'll put a link to both on our website.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks
and
for having
have
me.
A good trip.
Nice to
tour well,
to
sir.
Thank you.
Shopping.
Wow. That was amazing.
That was cool.
And incidentally, we did go play Guitar Hero with him immediately afterwards.
We did. Yes.
And he didn't do so well.
He didn't do so good.
But he had fun.
Yeah.
He was catching on. He didn't get booed off.
It was the first time he's ever done it.
Yeah.
So come on.
Yeah. And he didn't get booed off.
Just saying.
I also have to say, I mean, he is a great guy. He was a lot of fun.
He's really cool.
And we're going to have to go play ping pong with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right. We're definitely...
We'll have a tournament or something. A
little ping pong tournament at OK Go versus Geeks On. It's four on four.
We got a ringer.
Yeah, okay.
So we are back. We will be going into production for a little bit. We'll be trying to come up with some more regular episodes.
Yes, we're sorry we've been away so long.
We apologize. We miss you. We miss you. We miss you. We do.
So the reason why we don't have, summer breaks like television shows, but every once in a while we can't put one out every week or every week and a half or whatever.
2 weeks.
And every 2 weeks.
You know, and just so you know, we will be putting them out regularly for a little bit, and then we're probably going to go on hiatus for a little bit again.
Yep.
As at least one of us, Mr. Matt Yang, King,
getting married,
going in production in his new movie,
yeah,
and then he gets married after something like that, some sort of
we can just talk
wedding
about
ceremony.
Hey,
that's true.
So,
hey,
but if you want to write us, you can go to our website.
Wait,
okay,
I want to share some geek leaks before we do that.
Oh, okay. I know.
I've got two fun geek leaks. One of us that was sent to us by some of our fine listeners that you can interact with at the forum.
How fun.
Actually, a couple people sent me this link. Apparently, I am the musical theater geek. Yes, it's true.
Yeah, you are.
I have two musical theater pieces for you to link to this time. We have Evil Dead, the musical, up and running right now in Toronto, doing very well.
That's
fun. The link that we have goes to a big promo piece where you can see the play. You can see big portions of the play and their big promo.
See, I could see that working.
It actually looks like it works really well. They have an interview with some of the cast members on there on meeting Bruce Campbell when he came to opening night.
They actually have a zombie number called...
And best of all, you can actually buy the CD for the show on there if you're interested.
Oh.
So, and the music actually seems pretty good. It's like totally like boppy, grease-style numbers with undead people running around in the background. Okay. Looks like fun. The other is a quick promo piece about Spider-Man the Musical, which is currently being put together.
Lame.
To attack a theater near you.
With big people. YouTube doing the... Or YouTube. Isn't YouTube writing some of the music? And Michel Gondry is doing...
I had a hard time.
Not Michel Gondry. Who's the person who did...
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No. Who's the person who did Lion King?
What? Elton John?
No, the stage production.
Tim Rice?
Oh, Julie Taymor?
Taymor. I think she's directing it, right?
What?
I don't know.
That's what I
don't
heard.
Know. What?
Okay, I started reading the article and was so horrified I had to put it away.
This is a bad idea. There's nothing good about
it. We'll bring this up during the Spider-Man show, up and coming.
All right, I'll look it up and we'll get my facts straight.
We got links to those two stories, so go to which you can go to see if you go to our website at www.geekson.com. What's that address, Matt?
www.geekson.com.
Where if you go, you can just check it out. You can check out our forums, meet all sorts of fun people that you'd be amazed how much you have in common with.
Can you write us, Don?
Why, in fact, you can. Peter, what address would they need to write to if they want to contact us?
Geeks@geekson.com.
How interesting. Otherwise, they can also write us individually at Peter, Matt, Don, or Aaron at geekson.com.
That's Peter, Matt, Aaron, or Don at geekson.com.
All right, people are hanging up the show now. All right, but to come by the website and join our forums, because there are all sorts of great conversations about our
how
shows.
How much we suck, and, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not all love fest on there.
Not at all.
Yeah, what can you do?
Exactly.
All righty. Well, I hope I see you all soon.
Yes.
For the next Geek Zone episode. Happy Geek Week.
Great Geek Week, everybody.
Bye.
Rock it out.
No, geek it out.